We've read from John's Gospel tonight, which speaks about glory, the eternal weight of glory that belongs to God. So what do you think about when you think about glory? Some people think of the bright noonday sun. We talk about the glory of the sun in its dazzling beauty. But we also realize that the sun that shines in the sky at noon is powerful. When we feel the heat of the sun, we realize that there is something powerful and unmanageable about that heat. It's even dangerous. We know that it's dangerous to lie in the heat of the sun and sunbathe and get sunburnt. The sun can burn you. The sun can damage you. Glory. We talk about the sun. Glorious. In 1989, there was a film called Glory. It was an American historical war drama film. It was about the 54th Massachusetts Infantry Regiment. It was one of the Union Army's earliest African-American regiments in the American Civil War. Abraham Lincoln thought that the enlisting of the black African-American soldiers in the Civil War turned the tide of the Civil War. But the film, although it shows this regiment displaying enormous courage in the face of overwhelming odds in battle, the regiment has actually defeated. All the men were killed. But they were killed in glory. That's the idea of the film. But what about glory according to Jesus? The glory of God. John tells us that certain Greeks wanted to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. "Sir, we would see Jesus," they said. I wonder if that's in your heart and mind tonight. You want to meet with Jesus. And Jesus speaks about why he'd come into the world. Here are the first Gentiles in John's Gospel who've come and said they want to meet Jesus. And Jesus responds by speaking to them about glory. He speaks about an hour that's coming when he would be glorified. Now, what did he mean? The Greeks coming to Jesus were viewed by him as evidence that his mission had reached its climax. His hour was coming. The hour when he would die on the cross for the sins of the world. So there are many references in John's Gospel and in the other Gospels to this hour, the hour that Jesus knew would come when he would willingly lay down his life for our sins. In the first miracle, in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, Jesus said his hour had not yet come. At the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, his hour had not yet come. In the treasury, in the temple at Jerusalem, his hour had not yet come. But now, as he goes up to Jerusalem for this last Passover, his hour has come. When Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, John tells us, as he prayed, "The hour has come," Jesus says. Now in Gethsemane, Jesus fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He knew what it would cost him to bear the weight of God's wrath against sin. But Jesus, willing to do the will of his Father, said, "The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners." So Jesus would glorify the Father. He would receive glory through his death on the cross. So the cross demonstrates the Father's holiness because it shows us tonight that sin is against God's holy character. The cross demonstrates the Father's justice. The cross shows us that sin must be paid for. And Jesus paid for our sins at the cross. The cross demonstrates the Father's wrath because it pleased the Father to bruise his Son for a sinner like you and me. The cross demonstrates the Father's love in being willing to give up his Son to die as a substitute in our place. The cross demonstrates God's mercy. We sang about it The door of God's mercy stands open to all. And it's open to all because on the cross Jesus bore our griefs and sorrows so that by faith in him we should not perish. The cross demonstrates the Father's grace. As many as receive Jesus Christ as the Saviour King, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. So this cross of Jesus, the hour that was coming, would bring glory to God. So the Bible is telling us tonight three things. It tells us first that God is glorious. Secondly, it is telling us that we should give glory to God. And thirdly, we learn that it is only when we glorify God that we experience glory ourselves. There's this dilemma that the human race faces. God is glorious. We should give him glory, but it is only if you give God all the glory through faith in Jesus Christ that you experience glory yourself. So let's look at those three things. First, that God is glorious. In verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Father, glorify your name." Three times the Father speaks from heaven: at Jesus' baptism, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and here in verse 28, God speaks from heaven as his Son prays. God the Father says, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." God is glorious, John is saying. The word glory in the Bible carries with it the idea of weightiness, heaviness, importance, significance. A sunset over the ocean, the view from the top of a high mountain are glorious. You stand before a great ocean. You see a vista from the top of a mountain. And you begin to feel small and weightless. The sight is glorious. So the Bible is speaking of impact. When something is glorious, it makes an impact on you. You can think about it this way. You need advice about a certain issue, so you phone a trusted friend. And when the friend gives you that advice, you think, you'd better do what your friend has said to you, because what he said makes an impact on you. You ascribe glory to his opinion. Some people ask advice from all sorts of different people, looking for an answer that they want. But when you realize there's someone whose advice is weighty, it counts, you take the advice of that person because it has weight to it. It has more glory in your thinking. In English, we have the word matter. Matter can mean material rather than immaterial. But matter also carries it with the idea of weight, importance, impact. His opinion matters, we say. It's not insignificant. It's not inconsequential. It's not unimportant. So the Bible uses this glory language about God. Now, the Bible uses glory language about a person worthy of honor or respect. So, for example, Joseph was raised to second in command over Egypt, asked his brothers to go and tell the father of all his glory in Egypt. Jesus told a parable about taking the lowest seat in a banquet. So when the host says, "Friend, come up higher," Jesus said, "Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at table with you." Jesus criticizes religious leaders who seek glory for themselves rather than giving glory to God. But the glory language of the Bible is most often used in relation to God. God is the one who desires and deserves glory. He is the one most deserving of the highest honor and praise and worship. God is glorious, John says. So we should ascribe glory to God. That's the second thing. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, says the psalmist. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So in the sweeping narrative of the Bible, the end of all things is the glory of God. Many of the doxologies of the New Testament bear witness to this. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. To God alone be glory through Jesus Christ forever. To God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. 1 Timothy 1, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honour and glory forever and ever. And in Revelation chapter 1, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So glory is speaking of God's character, God's nature, God's holiness. The God of glory. We should give God glory, says the Bible. You have an interesting example of this in Exodus chapter 33, where Moses asks God, please show me your glory. And the Lord responds by saying, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And then the Lord hides Moses in the cleft of a rock and passes before him. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So God's glory, we could say, is the shining forth of God's character. The glory of God. God's wisdom, his love, creativity, beauty, holiness, strength, mercy, long-suffering, strength, compassion, all that makes God weighty, wonderful, glorious. How do we glorify God then? Well, we have a model in what John tells us tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. He glorifies God. He glorifies God through adoration, and he glorifies God through obedience. Father, glorify your name, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we need an anatomy of adoration, because we need to understand what it means to be a Christian and also what it means to be a human being. Because even mental health counselors who don't know anything about Christianity tell us that one of the indications of good mental health is the ability to praise. If you're in the workplace, if you're in a restaurant, if you attend a concert, if you can do nothing except complain, you can't find anything to praise, you just complain about everything, that's an indication your humanity is drying up. To be able to praise is important. So the Bible says when we are downcast, we adore God and we praise him. It lifts our hearts, it lifts our spirits. You become a person of praise and adoration. You give glory to God rather than being a person full of criticism and denial. How often have you heard a testimony that's gone something like this? Someone has said, I've always believed in God. I've heard that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins. But then I realized deep down in my heart that it was really true. I saw the horror of my own sins. I saw the love of God in Jesus Christ to forgive me and save me. And I called out to God and he heard me. What has happened to that man, that woman? Well, it's a glory issue. The veil of unbelief has been removed. That person has seen the truth, begins to take salvation seriously. That leads to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a new life. There are new patterns of living. There's a quitting of patterns of sinful living. A person begins to live for the glory of God. That person appreciates the glory of God and his or her whole life is changed. So we glorify God through adoration, but we also glorify God. Jesus here glorifies God through the discipline of adoration, but also through the discipline of obedience. evangelical obedience glorifies God. Let me give you an example. The Bible says, do not bear false witness. Do not lie. And then you have a job application. And you say to yourself, if I tell the truth about my age, I won't get the job. So what do? You lie. Now what have you done? You've treated God as light. And you've treated the job, your ego, the money, as heavy. You see what you've done? It's a glory issue. Whose glory counts? Whose opinion really matters? It's a refusal to give God his due, his glory. But here, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now my soul is troubled, said Jesus. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came into the world. Now what lay before Jesus Christ? What lay before him was the hour of his glorification, but what lay before him was the cross. And with all that weight of what the horror of the cross would mean for him, bearing our sins, dying in our place, he obeyed in response to the glory of his Father. Adoration, obedience. We ascribe glory to God. And then thirdly, we experience glory. If you're a Christian tonight, you glory in the cross. You say, at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ died as the Lamb of God for the sin of the world and for my sins. And I give the glory to God alone, that God's glory is the source of joy. We were made to see and know and experience God's glory, the chief end of man, to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And when we glorify God, our anxieties, our fears, the things that grip us, they all begin to find their right perspective and place in the light of who God is. We ascribe glory to God. God is the God of glory, and it's as if he, as it were, shares his glory with his people by giving us a sense of his presence, his glory shed abroad in our hearts. The Bible story is all about the God of glory. The psalmist tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. We look at the heavens, we look at the sun, the moon, the stars at night. We see the wonderful things that God has made. And we remind ourselves, God is glorious. We're reminded, as we were praying earlier, that human beings are made in the image of God. God created human beings after his own likeness, meant to reflect who God is. David, meditating on that status made, given to human beings, made in the glory or in the image of God, crowned with glory, David says. It's like a unifying thread through the Bible. The glory of God in creation, human beings made in his image, and most of all revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals to us the God of glory, so that the Bible can tell us all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. So where do we see the glory of God most clearly displayed? Well, we see it in creation, we see it in human beings, and we see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. And the Lord will arise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So we see God's glory. Let me be specific about those three places where we see God's glory. In creation. God's creation reveals to us the imprint of the glory of God. We see God's beauty, his creativity, his wisdom. We see in the world around us reflections of God's glory. There are signposts to the glory of God all across creation. It's one reason why people are moved by a sunset, are moved at the top of a mountain, are moved when they see the starlit skies. One Friday night a couple of weeks ago, the children and young people from Explorers and Matrix were out in the street there, and people from the street were all coming across to ask, "What are you looking at in the night sky?" And we were looking up into the night sky because the planets in line across the sky revealed to us something of the glory of God. It's a rare event in the night sky when the planets can all be seen in the night sky shining and revealing to us they're all made by the God of glory. That little line in the book of Genesis where God, he made the stars also. Because he's the God of glory. So we see something of God's glory in creation. We see something of God's glory in human beings who are made in God's image and likeness. Now we have fallen short of God's glory. But by faith in Jesus Christ, fallen, sinful human beings are being refashioned, remade to the image of his Son. Redemption in Jesus Christ, God restores us to the glory for which we were intended. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all with that unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So if you're a believer, trusting in Jesus Christ, there are ways in which through your Christ-likeness and Christ-like service, you express God's glory. You're being changed by the God of glory. So in creation, in human beings, but most wonderfully in Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, John has told us, and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John has in the background there that incident where God revealed his glory to Moses when Moses was hidden in the cleft of the rock. John goes on to say, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has revealed him. He has exegeted him. Jesus reveals God's glory to us. The God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So the writer to the Hebrews says, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. So if we ask the question that Moses asked, Lord, show us your glory, what does the Bible do? The Bible points us to Jesus. Behold him. Look to Jesus Christ in faith. Go to Jesus Christ in faith because God's glory is revealed in Jesus Christ. You see how God's glory connects then with the gospel. Glory is at the heart of the gospel. God, out of the fullness of his glory, created a world in which his glory could be on display. But human beings rebelled against God, turned from the God of glory. So rather than living in a world filled with the glory of God, there is something still of the glory of God in creation. But now we live in a world of brokenness and futility and death because of human rebellion against God. But God is committed to restoring his people to a right relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ and in this great calling to share and display his glory. God accomplishes it through redemption in his Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ became a man. He revealed God's glory. In Jesus' self-giving on the cross, his hour was come when he would display the fullness of God's glory. Jesus bearing the curse for us, making atonement for our sin, dying to cleanse us from our sins, dying that we could be reconciled to God. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you can be restored back into a right relationship with God. And it leads to glory. There is a hope of glory, says the Bible. Glory marks the fulfillment of the redemption which we have in Jesus Christ. If you're a believer tonight, you will be glorified with Jesus Christ. Glory will be revealed in us. All creation will enter the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So that's what awaits those who have been united by faith to Jesus Christ. to be glorified together with him, to delight in God's glory, even here now, being conformed to God's image and likeness in Christ. But the final consummation, a freed creation from sin and death and all that human rebellion, the wickedness and curse that's come into the world, all removed for the glory of God. So in the Bible, we have this account. God is glorious. We rebelled against God, but that glory is restored through faith in Jesus Christ, and there'll be a final consummation at the end when Jesus Christ returns in glory. All the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, says the Bible. So there are many ways to express the gospel. And this is one way of thinking about it. The gospel helps us to understand God is a God of glory. How can we appear before God? How can I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam? How can I come to a God of glory? There is a way. There is a way for man to rise to that sublime abode. There is an offering. Jesus Christ, the hour had come. He laid down his life on the cross. An offering and a sacrifice. A Holy Spirit's energies. Amen. Do you know the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, pointing you to Jesus Christ, an advocate with God? That's what it means, says the Bible, to know the glory of God through Jesus Christ. The Bible brings us to this great, wondrous God of glory through faith in Jesus Christ, and then his glory is revealed in us. So you have these twin themes in the Christian life. You see God's glory, and then you give God glory. If you want to know God, if you want to know God's heart, if you want to know God's character, his greatness, you need to look to him by faith in Jesus Christ tonight as the God of glory. And then you find your repentance and faith in Jesus Christ are informed and strengthened by understanding God's glory. Paul's words shine on the heart of the issue. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our dilemma. It's not just that we've been impatient or harsh or unkind or proud or selfish. We have fallen short of God's glory. We have failed to be like him, which should be our deepest longing. We express something less than the truth about what God is like. God is a God of glory, and we have fallen short. So that engages our hearts in repentance. It reorientates us, and we realize if we're going to know this God of glory, we have to come to him through a Savior, through an advocate, through a Redeemer, through a Savior King, Jesus Christ. And then God begins to work in us, to change us, being changed from glory to glory. So I wonder if you've ever prayed something like this tonight. Lord, open my eyes to see your glory, to know who God is, that God is a God of glory. We can't come to him in our sinfulness. We need a Savior. And then by faith in Jesus Christ, coming to the glory of the God of glory, to pray, Lord, help me then to live for your glory. And when you begin to live for God's glory, you find a glory begun below. So I'm saying tonight, are you a Christian? Have you been attracted to the glory of God through the glory of what Jesus Christ has done for you by his saving and dying love on the cross? That Jesus now is the glorious one in your life. You've seen, you've experienced the glory of God through Jesus Christ. Not just a religious person. God, not just an idea to you. Not that you're trying to work your way up to God by your own self-effort and achievements. No, you're coming to the God of glory through faith in Jesus Christ. And you cry out to Jesus Christ that he will save you and bring you to the God of glory. And just as God the Father answered here God the Son, God will answer your prayers tonight if you come to him as the God of glory through Jesus Christ, the glorious Saviour. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of this glory when he said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Have you come to the God of glory because you've been drawn by faith through Jesus Christ, the one who is lifted up to die? Lifted up was he to die. "It is finished," was his cry. But now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Come to the God of glory through a glorious Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you tonight that you are the God of glory. Who is like unto you? The God of glory. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. The God of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. Glorious in providence. We are made in your image and we are made for you, O Lord. And there is a restlessness in our hearts until we find rest in Jesus Christ. But Lord, we're also aware the glory of God revealed most clearly and wonderfully and magnificently in Jesus Christ, the mighty Saviour, the glorious Saviour. He is the one who has captivated our hearts. No other Saviour, no other Redeemer, no other King. But Jesus Christ brings us to God and he changes us from the inside out. Changed from glory to glory. And one day we shall share in that glory. We thank you, Lord, that none of those who trust in you will ever perish. Not one who trusts in you will ever be lost. You are the glorious Saviour who will bring all his children safely home to glory. And when in heaven we see your face, that will be glory for us. And so fill our hearts with faith and thanksgiving as we come now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing as a closing hymn number 532 about Jesus Christ, whose glory fills the sky. Let me find it. 532. Christ, whose glory fills the skies. Christ, the true, the only light. Son of righteousness, arise. Triumph over the shades of night. Dayspring. Dayspring is like the star in the sky at night or in the morning. Dayspring from on high, be near. Day star in my heart appear, Christ whose glory. We'll stand to sing 532.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we praise you as the Son of Righteousness who arises in our hearts with healing in your wings. Those who put their trust in you find acceptance before the God of glorious holiness. For in Jesus Christ we have a perfect righteousness which is from God, and a Saviour who cleanses us from all our sins. So, Lord, visit then this soul of ours, scatter our unbelief, arise in our hearts, and change us from glory to glory, till one day we come to heaven and see your face and cast our crowns before the God of glory, lost in wonder, love, and praise. O Lord, mix your word with faith in our hearts, that believing we may know that peace and joy which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And continue to watch over us as we worship together, and as we come around the Lord's table in a moment and remember the great price Jesus paid when that hour came, when he laid down his life for our sins at the cross. Fill our hearts with faith and thanksgiving. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.